Johnson Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. The situation in Hawaii is now being described as apocalyptic as people on the island of Maui try to escape several fast-moving wildfires. Alan Dicker lives in Lahaina.
Quite a few houses burned. I own several houses, and I know that one of them caught fire. I am still trying to track down all my tenants to make sure that everybody's safe.
But communications are down, roads are blocked, and these fires are moving fast.
There have been individuals who experienced concern about their safety due to the smoke and fire and decided to jump into the shoreline waters of the ocean.
County spokeswoman Mahina Martin says people with severe burn injuries are being airlifted now to Honolulu. Haitian kidnappers have finally freed an American nurse and her child. Here's CBS's Kimmy McCormick.
Alex Dorsonville and her child were kidnapped late last month. She's a nurse from New Hampshire who works for a Christian aid organization. Her captors had demanded $1 million in ransom for their release. Gang violence has grown so bad in Haiti that the U.S. embassy closed Tuesday.
A memo that's been uncovered from a lawyer allied with former President Trump apparently lays out a strategy to overturn the 2020 election. CBS's Robert Costa.
It, in essence, sketches out a plot to encourage Trump supporters in key battleground states to organize as false electors. This is a winding scheme that was put into place by Trump and his allies to try to keep him in power by putting forward alternative slates of electors from various states.
The lawyer said it'd probably get struck down by the Supreme Court, but push for it anyways. California Senator Dianne Feinstein's office says she is back home now after a fall at home landed her in the hospital. They say it was a minor fall, so she didn't stay long, but the Democrat is 90 years old, so they got her checked out as a precaution. 10,000 steps is still the gold standard, but a new study shows it doesn't have to be. Here's CBS's Michael George.
A study published by the European Society of Cardiology found walking around 4,000 steps a day is enough to reduce the risk of death. And you only need about 2,300 steps a day to reduce your chance of dying from heart disease.
And the more steps, the better. Looks like a pop star is headed to court after all. CBS's Jen Clark.
A federal judge has ruled that a lawsuit against singer Dua Lipa and two of her songwriters can go forward, alleging that they ripped off the song Levitating from a 1979 disco tune. It's called Wiggle and Giggle All Night, and the judge said that the plaintiffs did prove that the songs are strikingly similar, even though the defendants tried to get the case dismissed.
It's her third copyright lawsuit. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
If this were a Reese's TV ad, you'd be staring at a Reese's peanut butter cup. And sure, my voice is peanut buttery smooth, but still, you need to see the peanut butter cups, right? No? I can really just say Reese's and you'll go get some? Okay, Reese's. 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 Really working, actually. Reese's. Reese's. This, I'm on to something. Reese's. 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 Reese's.
Every piece of land has a story. Some right there is behind the wheel of a John Deere 1 Series tractor, like the Upshaws.
This is my tractor, Penny. It's all about attention to detail.
But the Nelsons love cruising around their expansive Montana ranch in their John Deere Gator UV.
We've been here since 1868.
While the Caggianos drive a John Deere zero-turn mower to keep their Long Island brewery looking sharp.
Don't call me, don't bother me. I'm going out to mow for a couple hours.
Run with us and start telling your story. Learn more at johndeere.com/radio.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crudités at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were crudy takes.
Crudies takes. See, man? It all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, August 10th. In Wood County, the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin Finance Committee will meet at 8:45 in Marshfield, followed by the board meeting at 9:30. The North Central Wisconsin Workforce Development Board Executive Committee will meet at 9 a.m. The PACE Commission will meet at 11 a.m. The Wisconsin Rapids Human Resource Committee will meet at 3 p.m. at the McMillan Library. The McMillan Memorial Library Personnel Committee will meet at 4. The University Commission UW-Marshfield Wood County will meet at 5. In Portage County, the Comprehensive Plan Steering Committee will meet at 2. The Diversity Affairs and Inclusiveness Committee will meet at 5. The Park Commission will meet at 5. And the Agriculture and Extension Education Committee will meet at 7. In Adams County, the Aging Advisory Board will meet at 1, and the Highway Committee meets at 4:30. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Chance for scattered storms tonight, otherwise partly cloudy. Lows dip down to about 57. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Highs level off around 80. Chance for scattered storms tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 57. Cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 85.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this August 9th, 2023. Have your host, James J. here, and I am joined by some of our favorite people. We first have Kim Shields from Encourage. Kim, good to see you.
Great to see you. Thanks for having me.
Been too long. Thanks for being here.
Absolutely.
And thank you for bringing this guest to us.
Yes.
David Stokes is with us, everybody. David, thank you very much for being here.
You're welcome.
Appreciate the time. David, if you don't mind pulling up a little bit, being a close talker for once, you know, it's okay to be a close talker. We're going to talk with David in a moment, but first, Kim, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to just talk with you a little bit about the Helen Mead Fund and some other things.
Yeah, absolutely. We are so fortunate to have the Helen Mead Fund at Encourage, and I know I've talked a little bit about Helen Mead Fund in the past, just with our zoo programs. And, you know, Helen had a dream, and she loves animals, she loves education, she loves children, and she loved our community, and really wanted to be able to support something at our Wisconsin Rapids Zoo where people could gather, we could host educational events, and the city has also been able to utilize it as a rental income for, you know, people host parties there, yeah, gatherings, that sort of thing. So it's really been a wonderful asset for our community. But if we look at, you know, kind of backtracking, you know, this was in 2007 when the Helen Zoo House first opened.
Wow.
And that was a great collaborative opportunity and build between Encourage Community Foundation with support from the Helen Mead Fund and the City of Wisconsin Rapids. You know, the house itself was about $150,000 back in 2007. Be much more now. And, you know, 50% was covered by the city and 50% by the fund at Encourage. So, you know, right from the beginning, we've been integral in having the beautiful Helen Zoo House that we do today. And so that fund not only supported the building of that, but also, you know, I've mentioned, and, you know, listeners may recall this, but we have different types of funds. And it's an endowed fund. So there's a specific amount that's generated every year. And so based on that, then that's my budget. And so I, you know, look at that and talk with our staff, and it's like, gosh, you know, who are the education providers that people love? David Stokes right here is one of them. And, you know, what's our budget? How much can I afford? How many shows can we have? Who can we bring in? And so that's really fun to be able to do that. And that was all from Helen Mead and her love.
Yeah.
And we're just so fortunate to be able to have the zoo house and to offer these programs for our community.
Yeah, appreciate everybody behind this too, to make this happen. You know, we know that there's an economic impact that happens, and I know for a lot of people out there, it's a numbers driven thing. So what's the impact it has economically? A good one, a very solid one, and one that we would not have without it. But for us, I think, and not to speak for you, Kim, but we've talked about these kind of things before. It's so much more too about these kids and people and community members. Say a kid, I remember this friend of mine, Tammy. She was young. She goes to a zoo a little north of us. And from that moment on, became in love with animals. She's currently a zoologist in a great zoo in Texas. And doing great things. Like, that's one tiny example. My daughter, my youngest, Izzy, is a very good example of this, of being at this zoo over here, taking her there to see those lemurs and everything, and her just falling in love with lemurs. Like, she likes cows a little more now, but lemurs are still one of her favorite animals.
And Izzy has gone on to work at shelters, work at different, you know, vets wonderful. And different things. The thing that it can springboard in a kid's brain mm-hmm. as far as the love of animals. And we'll get yes. into that with David a little bit, too. But right. just opportunities like that that would not exist without that zoo being right there.
Yeah. I remember taking my kids to the zoo when they were little. And I actually had, we had some wonderful helpers to help set up the chairs today. And I was talking to them because they wanted to go see the lemurs and Trilo from Bear in the Big Blue House. My kids were like, we got to go see Trilo.
Yep.
So we would come over to the zoo and the beautiful cool. butterfly gardens and the master gardeners that do such incredible work and the staff maintaining the zoo and feeding all the animals and the petting zoo. I mean, there's just so many nice opportunities.
I'm glad you brought up the master gardeners. Mm-hmm. I don't bring them up nearly enough when it comes to that zoo. Great work that they do they over do. There. And that staff is so awesome. They are such good people at that place. Mm-hmm. It's a really great thing. The 2024 Summer Zoo programs. Did you want to touch on that at all?
Sure. So, you know, I talked about, you know, we'll have a little budget. So I'm really excited that, you know, we don't have the schedule of events yet, but we have found that feedback from the parents and families, they are appreciating having a later show offered. So we will try whenever possible to offer that again next year. So we appreciate, you know, David has a later show. We have one at 3:30 today. That's our late show. Right after we're pre-recording, sorry, to Radio Land. But, so we have one at 11:30 today and 3:30. So, you know, this is going to air at 3 and people, you know, listen live on WFHR radio as you're driving over to the zoo and then come join us at 3:30.
She's great at the promoing, isn't she? She's great at it. She's really good at it. You're right on with that, Kim. If people have suggestions or ideas for that 2024 programming, should they reach out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Just give me a call at Encourage 715-423-3863. Love to hear your thoughts.
Kim, thanks a lot for the time. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you a little bit more before we wrap up and everything.
Sounds great.
I got to be honest with you and David. I've been looking forward to this since we got the note last Friday that David was going to be in. I have no journalistic integrity with you, sir. I love animals. I love what you do. No hardball questions here. You've got a complete, like, clean slate of who you talk about and do whatever you want. Okay. When I was a kid, I mentioned this about my kids. I grew up in the city in Chicago, and not a lot of animals, you know? Sure. We go to the Brookfield Zoo. I see penguins for the first time. To this day, one of my favorite things in the universe are penguins. And it doesn't happen without seeing them, as a city kid, seeing a real animal in person. Sure. Dave, before we get into your act and your program and a lot of that, how did this begin for you?
Well, it's interesting because I grew up as a... in southern Michigan, playing sports, doing all kinds of things like that. Not much outdoors, really. We went camping with my family. I remember my parents being open-minded to just about everything, but we didn't fish. We didn't do a lot of wildlife kinds of things. I didn't really get into this field until I was in college. And I went to school in my hometown. I transferred to Michigan State University. Sorry about that, everybody. Nice. And then I got into forestry, and then I found out with forestry, they were basically training me to manage forests. And I thought, well, that wasn't really what I wanted to do. And then they had a new program called Natural Resources and Environmental Education, and it was all about teaching kids. And so I was like, I went to a seminar, and our job in the fall was to develop the Read a Sand County Almanac, which is written by Aldo Leopold from Wisconsin. And we read that book, and then we prepared to take fifth graders on a camping experience in the wintertime. And then I was hooked. I was realizing that kids want to move and make noise, and this was a chance to do that in a focused way. So I changed my major to that, Natural Resources and Environmental Education. Then I went on to get my master's degree in Conservation Education, Wildlife, and in multidisciplinary with the College of Natural Resources, Natural Science, and the College of Education. And I realized it was that my style of what I was presenting, that kids listened to me. Because the first thing was to get their attention. So that's kind of what I do.
Thank you for that, David. You kind of answered this next part a little bit, but I just want to dive a little more into it. You come into the field, not late, but maybe a little bit later. And then that you have this field that you enjoy, why go this route with it? You know, there's a number of different things. You could work at shelters, be a veterinarian. Sure. Why go this route?
Well, part of it was the excitement of creating exciting learning situations and having fun and realizing that if you're having fun, chances are they'll want to do it again. And we, I'm not under an illusion that I do one thing. Like your peak experience with penguins, that happens with some people, but not everybody. Mm-hmm. And so I think that if the kids can come back and I can see them over time, it's going to be a better impact of appreciating wildlife and whatever. So, and I found that I brought joy. I was able to bring joy. A friend of mine, I think it was Sandy Queen, said to me that when you die and you go to the afterworld, there's going to be two questions. One is, did you bring joy? Did you find joy? And so I have found joy in my presentation style and what I do, and I think I bring joy to other people.
Right.
Because life is a journey. I mean, we can plan for the future, which is, I sometimes don't do that enough, with finances and whatever else. But the future is not guaranteed. And that's something that live in the moment. Kids live in the moment. I remember my son when he was little. He's 35 now. And when he was little, he used to tell me, "Dad, you're not looking at me. You're not paying attention." Mm-hmm. And focused on, to focus on the here and the now. And so I spent a lot of time doing that and kind of accepting kids where they are. Children. My brother-in-law would say children, not kids. But there's no disrespect when I say kids.
Whatever. Yeah, yeah.
But it's like it's a chance to share with them the beauty of the natural world. I found out that having live creatures was a way to enhance the learning, to engage them in a different way. I think if I didn't have animals, I don't think I'd be as popular. But I think it's more than just the animals. You can stand there and hold the creature, but if you can get beyond that,
yeah.
So I try to use songs, stories, humor, concept facilitators. Mm-hmm. Some people call them gimmicks, like puppets, and I call them concept facilitators because
I like
you get a bigger grant if you ask for that.
Yeah.
I want to buy some gimmicks. Cut that out of the budget. So.
Another thing that it seems to me, David, that you're talking about the future, talking about the impact we make and everything. Where can you make the biggest impact? The youth, right. Hitting kids. Adults could use your programs too. I think they would get a lot of enjoyment and knowledge out of it.
Sure.
But boy, if you can hit them young, it not only might spark that interest, but another word you brought up, conservation. Getting young people to care about conservation is vital and integral to the future of our planet,
right.
Let alone our animals and us on it and everything.
Right. You have a friend that Mike Waldbecker from Philadelphia, and he talks about 8-year-olds, and he said, and I think this works for any age level, especially even younger kids, that 8-year-olds are not supposed to be worriers and warriors. They're not supposed to be the ones turning off the shower, collecting the litter. They're supposed to be watching ants dancing in puddles, all those kinds of things. So it's in a matter of the adults have a big job, and a lot of people, especially young people, have a complaint that we haven't done enough to protect the environment, and it's what they're getting in the future. But I still work in what I do. I think my niche is in trying to do the here and the now, plan for the future, but more like take care of what's here, and enjoy the wildlife that's around us. And I have a number of live animals I use in my shows, which is to enhance the learning. But sometimes they come out; they're not out for that long. Other things are involved too.
You brought up a term that I think is relatable for a lot of us about being in the moment. And I've struggled with this my whole life. And I felt such a kinship when you were talking about that. And it's interesting that the thing that is outside of my kids are in their 20s now. They don't need me as much and everything. So that doesn't keep me in the moment like they used to. But I find like my fur brother, Sammy, my parents' dog, like he does it to me. I'll be rushing around and Sam's right there. And I'm like, I got to pet Sam because I can't help myself. I got to pet him. I love him. And it gets me in the moment. It gets me to stop and think and I just enjoy this moment. And I'm doing more of that as I'm going forward, at least trying to.
Sure.
Animals are great for that. They really help you do that. Animals give you a perspective that human beings just can't, I don't feel.
Yeah, I think that's possible, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, especially, these, quote, higher animals, mammals and whatever, like dogs, you say, and they're attentive, always happy to see you. Hmm. Even if they don't feel well, they're usually in they like to be around you. And I like to use the creatures in different ones that people don't like, oftentimes thought of as the unhuggables, animals that people don't like toads, snakes, spiders, even ticks. I mean, I had Lyme disease years ago, but I don't hate the tick. Mm. It's a concept that, if a child acts out, we attack the behavior, not the child.
Right.
And if a tick acts out, you attack the behavior, not the tick.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard, even with, the concerns about West Nile virus and mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, mosquitoes have a place in that they're food for many creatures in the food chain. Bats eat them, birds eat them, fish eat them. And, we like fish fry on Friday nights. Well, the young fish eat mosquito larvae in the water. And so it's one of those things that appreciating, you know, I tell kids if I get a mosquito bites me, I kill the mosquito, but I don't hate the mosquito.
Right.
Because it's you protect yourself, but you appreciate where it comes from. And Leopold used to talk about some of these things, like a watchmaker would take apart a watch and then put it back together, and he'd have one part left over. And he wouldn't throw the part away, even though the watch worked. Mm-hmm. At that point, it's got to belong somewhere. So just that we don't know where it belongs. You know, and I want to appreciate that there's a lot of people interested in native plants, for instance. And I like native plants, but I don't hate non-native plants.
Right.
Because people will say, well, if native is good and non-native is not good, I ask people, how many of us are Native Americans?
Mm-hmm.
Very few.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like we have a place to fit in and accept all the things. But
I've never gotten mad at the dog for barking.
Yeah.
It's what a dog does.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can't really get mad. It's a dog. It's being a dog.
Yeah.
It's just what it does. Yeah. I like that. That's really helpful. You touched on something there. I want to piggyback on the animals that are in your program.
Yeah.
How did you choose these particular animals? And we'll get into the program and what you do there as we go from this.
Okay. Well, I have a number of animals that I like. My business is called the Frog Course Nature Education. So I usually have a frog involved. A bullfrog. I had a bullfrog that I got from the first bullfrog I ever got was pretty good size, and it was females are bigger than the males.
Mm.
And I got this frog, and this lady had called me up and said, "Would you take this bullfrog away from my pond?" And I said, "Well, why do you want to get rid of it?" I said, first of all, I said, "Yes, I'll do that." I said, "Why do you want to get rid of it?" She said, "It's eating the baby ducks." And I was like, "Oh." So I realized that frogs will eat, you know, in the book, the frogs eat flies, but that's most people don't like flies. So bigger frogs, like bullfrogs, eat bigger things like mice and other frogs. And plus they're tough. You know, so I use frogs because they're kind of available. They're tough. They're big. They make a cool sound.
Yeah.
And so that kind of, then I had turtles, and I thought, well, people didn't want a turtle anymore. They gave me the turtle.
Hmm.
So I started collecting that way. And the same with the snakes.
Hmm.
I have snakes. At one point, I had seven snakes. And then over time, because of age, they died off. And I thought, well, gee, I'm going to phase out snakes in my presentations.
Hmm.
And then even my wife said, "You gotta have snakes." And then my friend Louise said, "You gotta have snakes." So it's like, okay, I'll get a snake. So then I actually purchased a snake from a pet store. And then the lady called me up and said, "We have this ball python. Do you want it? You know, my son is going to college. We don't want it anymore." And I was like, "Sure." So now I have snakes again. But I sort of champion the unhuggables. I mean, people love turtles, but they don't love snapping turtles.
Yeah.
And they don't really like snakes. They don't like spiders.
Mm.
But these creatures are alive, and they take care of, many snakes eat mice, which cause problems. So, you know, Bruce Wallace, I think, said if plants and animals all over the earth were to die, humans would die.
Yeah.
If humans were to die, plants and animals would be largely unaffected.
You know,
so it raises who's most important. So I think we're all in this together.
That's good. I think that we've seen some hope in this subject matter where we've come with bees. Where for our kind of lifetimes and stuff, bees were kind of, bees, you know.
Yeah.
In the last 5-10 years or so, we've kind of, hey, by the way, bees, very important.
Sure.
Very, very integral to this whole food chain thing that we have going on. So we've kind of come on the other side of this as a society with frogs, with some of these other things. I think that there's some hope there that can happen.
Sure. And like the honeybee, the European honeybee is an exotic bee that much of our agriculture depends on. But there's also a lot of other pollinators that are important, and I think that's catching on to people that it's, you know, it's an important part of the food chain, and we should connect to that.
And let's tell people what your program's like a little bit, David.
Well, I'm going to try to focus on listening, and have people pay attention at the beginning, and then think about creatures that, you know, I'll probably ask the group what do you think I brought today, because there'll be some repeat people, and then I use a lot of American Sign Language and motion and to sort of keep the audience engaged. And we'll think about, I have frogs, turtles, snakes, and mice and fish today. I believe in hands-on learning. I find that, some kids are interested in book learning, some are interested in song, some are interested in the live hands-on, some are interested in puppets, and it's all different levels. And so we'll try to provide opportunities for all of those learners. And then also I like the idea that parents come along or caregivers come along, because you teach them too. Sometimes they think, the program's for the kid. Well, it's actually for everybody. And if we can model the behavior that we want them to be, you know, to be the change you want to see in the world, that kind of thing, and to have the people, have them participate, be open-minded, you know, look at this. I remember my granddaughter's three now, but when she was like, I think one and a half, and she was still living in Albany, and she had a tick on her arm. And she looked at it and she said, "This is pretty exciting. We're not sure what that was."
Yeah,
was
yeah.
More than a tick.
Yeah.
Sounded like a sonic so boom.
Yeah. Possibly, you know, she said, a spider. She looked at a spider, and her parents were like, horrified in a sense, but they didn't want to scare mm-hmm. her. So they took it off, and then they had her tested or whatever, because ticks are related to spiders. But she was used to the itsy bitsy spider song, and mm-hmm. spiders are good, and mm. and we catch them and put them outside, and we don't squish them, and you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. One of the other things that I noticed going to your website, David, and you can go to dwstokes.com to find out more about David and the great work that he's doing. You've got one of my favorite things, facts. Like, yeah. I love random facts. I love facts that aren't just household facts or anything.
Sure.
I thought a fun way to kind of wrap up or to let you get going to the program that you've got coming up here in like 5-10 minutes. I don't want to keep you too long. Going over, do you have any, like, off the top of your head, any fun random facts about nature that you want to share? Otherwise, I can use your website here. I don't want to put you
well,
on the spot.
You know, when you said facts, then it reminds me of a quote, so I'm not sure if that's appropriate. But Rachel Carson said, if facts are the seeds that later produce knowledge and wisdom, then the impressions of the senses and the emotions are the fertile soil in which the seeds must grow. Mm. And so it's more than facts. You can use the facts to kind of draw people in. You know, the bullfrog is the largest frog. The female is bigger than the male. You can practice language, have them practice language by saying amplexus, metamorphosis, all these big words that are important. But then get beyond that. What does it feel like? It feels like a pickle. The bullfrog feels like a pickle. There's only one way to prove that. And a snake feels like your fingernail. Well, there's only one way to prove that is to touch it. So I believe in hands-on learning as much. The facts are sort of there because some people think that if you don't have facts, you know, whatever. But I think it's in nature, too, that facts sometimes change. I mean, you find out that this animal lives, well, here's what it does. And then you find out, wow, if you put a mouse in the container with the bullfrog, you find out that bullfrogs eat mice and may not know that. Yeah, you know, you might see something, well, a great blue heron migrates in the winter, and then you see one in the snow. And you go like, I guess they also can stay here. And what are they eating? Well, if you watch it, then you find out it eats mice in the winter. I'm like, oh, and that's something. So facts can change and are not, you know, they're not solid in stone or whatever. And that's what science is about. Science is becoming, you know, finding out what's more and keep asking questions.
Right. So. Especially that last part, keeping asking questions, especially with a field like that, with animals, where we're not just discovering new things that animals are doing. Animals are doing new things. Animals are evolving with the planet.
Sure.
And then it seems like every like couple months we have a story come out about some animal we never have heard of that's way at the bottom of the ocean that we've discovered or something like that. Like, I can't think of many cooler things in 2023 that we're still discovering new species on this planet.
Sure.
It's fascinating. It's amazing.
That's cool.
That alone is a cool fact.
Yep.
But
yeah, that's right.
There's plenty of great ones on David's website. I'm not going to give them to you. You got to go look them up yourself. Go to dwstokes.com to get those facts. David, I wanted to touch on influences with you a little bit. That was something I wanted to bring up before. I know that you have been an influence on others, and I'm curious of who influenced you to get to maybe even think about getting into this field that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, I think my biggest influence were my parents and my sister. My parents kind of open-minded about whatever I wanted to do. My dad was an accountant for his life, worked as a trust officer, was pretty interested in the future, taking care of his family and that kind of thing. But he was also open-minded to whatever I wanted to study, as long as I wanted to study something. And my sister, my big sister, I'm the youngest of four, and the baby of the family. I usually tell kids I'm the big baby, which they think is funny, which I'm not proud of, really. I'm bigger than anybody in the family. But my sister, Sherry, was influences into any kind of ages, really, but especially early childhood. And we find out that kids develop the same all over the world up to 7 months, as long as they have good nutrition. But from 7 months to 3 years is a critical time. And who's in charge at that time is the parents. And so we try to influence the parents, teach the parents. The idea is that we're teaching the children at the same time we're modeling what you want the parents to do. And so my sister was so good at accepting kids where they're coming from, not to chase after them, to allow them to be who they are. And so that's been a big influence. When I went to college and I met Bob Hinkle, was my major professor. And he just, at one point he said, because we used to team teach. In these fifth grade programs. And then I heard him say to one of my other friends, he says, it's time to untie Stokes' apron strings. And so it was kind of scary to go out by yourself. And then you realize, the kids paid attention to me. They would, we did ambulators, which are activities to get from one place to the next. Mm-hmm. So we jumped up and down the trail, and to pretend we were jumping spiders or something. Yeah. And that kind of thing got the kids focused, and they were right, after I stopped, they were right with me. Hmm. Whereas other people might just, what my friend Billy B calls drag and brag. They just drag the kids down the trail and brag about everything you know. Mm. And walk and talk sometimes works, but it's better to engage them somehow. Yeah. And let them be part of the learning and the teaching process. So,
right on.
But those are, you know, he was a big, Michigan State, I got a lot of influence.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I didn't do animal things until I got to college.
Mm.
And so kids that are learning with nature preschools and learning it at 7 months old, learning to be outside in nature to be a oh wow type of thing instead of ooh yuck. I mean, mm-hmm. approach
yeah. Yeah.
You know, this animal's, that's a cool looking bee. That's a, instead of ooh yuck, protect yourself. You don't have to be realistic. I mean, you look both ways when you cross the street. I mean, be realistic, but not everything is out to get us out there. So,
David, thank you so very much for
Thanks
the time,
for having me.
Especially knowing you have these programs today and everything. Thank you so much for putting up with me and my questions and hanging out with our audience and everything. Really do appreciate it. DWStokes.com, the website. Be sure to bookmark it, check out, and find out more about not only David, but the great work that he is doing. And Kim, one more time, if people want to reach you for encourage and other ideas they may have, how can they reach you?
Phone is 715-423-3863 or email us at hello@encouragecf.org.
And be sure, you should be heading over right now to go see David at 3:30 over at the Helen Zoo House. Go check it out, everybody, at 1911 Gaynor Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. Break a leg. Have a great set of shows, David.
Thank you.
Thank you again for the time. We'll
Thank
have
you.
More Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
I've got some cheese curds that I'm willing to share. Then I want to ride that giant slide over there. So if you've got 11 days to spare, won't you come with me to the Wisconsin State Fair? Won't you come with me to the Wisconsin? The great state of Wisconsin State Fair.
There's something for everyone at the Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular, August 3rd through the 13th.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. Do you get hives or feel itchy or nauseous after eating red meat? You may be experiencing an allergic reaction caused by a tick bite. Alpha-Gal syndrome is believed to be spread by the Lone Star tick and possibly other ticks as well. This causes an allergic reaction to red meat and dairy products like milk. The reactions can be mild to full-on anaphylaxis in severe cases. The symptoms can set in 5 to 60 minutes after eating. WAOW reports cases are on the rise in Wisconsin. While there is no known cure for AGS, doctors say the symptoms may fade over time if you can avoid getting bitten again. Tuck your clothes, like your shirt, into your pants and your pants into your socks to keep ticks away from your skin, and check yourselves for ticks after you've been outdoors. The Raptors play in Madison tonight against the first-place Mallards. First pitch at 6:05. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Chance for scattered storms tonight, otherwise partly cloudy. Lows dip down to about 57. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Highs level off around 80. Chance for scattered storms tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 57. Cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 85.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Midday Magazine for this August 9th, 2023. Have your host, James, here. We are welcoming in right now our good friend, Katrina Hintner from Family Natural Foods. Katrina, it's just us today. That's going to be fun.
Oh,
no, you're on a different mic. I'm sorry. Hey, it's good to have you here.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Appreciate the time, as always. And I did want to send a thank you to you and your team over there for kind of flipping with Kim and us and Encourage.
Hey,
thank
we're happy
that.
To. We love Encourage. And I love that they can get their information out a little bit sooner. So we're happy to be adaptable, as everybody here at the radio station has been so great about being adaptable. I think that's your word of the year.
Yes.
Adaptable.
Yeah. Great. Oh, yeah. Great
like
point.
You need it like big and then like remind yourselves and be like, yep, we are that.
You're so right about this. You're so right. Please do us a favor. Say hi to everybody over there for us. I feel a little spoiled. Last show, I got to hang out with Steven, and him and I haven't gotten to do that in a while. It was fun. And now I get to just hang out with you. It's
I
fun.
Know. And we get to do that a little bit more than Steven does, which is great.
Yeah.
So Steven was so funny. I'm like, okay, well, what did you talk about on radio so I don't double up on what you're talking about?
Yeah.
And I feel like the bar just got raised. Like, it's like, oh, man. Like, he told me, he's like, well, we talked about drinks because it was really hot. And then we transitioned into deodorant in a really, like, odd and great way. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I could ever beat that, like, transition. Like,
yeah, it was a
he's good with his transitions.
He really
and
is.
I mean, he talked about deodorant. Like, how do you break into deodorant? He breaks a sweat with this one, you know, however he did it. But I was like,
good. It was good.
Man, he's too good to keep up with. But speaking of Steven and some of our staff, I thought I'd mention this because I think it's fun and just give you a little behind the scenes of some things.
Yeah.
So Steven and four of our staff members, well, it'll be four in total. So it's Steven, Kelly, Jamie, and Judith are down in Chicago right now, your homeland area. And they're doing a training with Terry Natural and a lot of other supplement companies / retailers like us, a lot of the like mom and pop shops. And so I did it last year with a couple other team members that never did the training before. Steven and I have been fortunate enough to do them and a lot of our other staff. But it's so cool. Just another reason why we love Terry is Terry invests in the businesses that invest in him.
Yeah.
And I need to actually change that. Terry invests in the businesses that invest in him that the communities invest in, because we wouldn't have it if it wasn't for this wonderful community that we have.
Well said.
But he's taking time and bringing in some experts in the field right now. They're talking from like 8 to 4 and they're learning all about the latest products or how to explain products better. Or, okay, when people come in, they might be asking questions about how can this help me, but we never knew this angle on how it helps a person. And then he brings in people, it talks about like diet and exercise. Like, it's not even just about the supplement that you're buying. It's really about the whole experience. And we love that about the brand. We love that he's taking time to educate us further. So that's what they're doing for the next couple days.
That's so cool.
And then I just need to give kudos to the other staff that are rocking the store the other half of the store is gone. So equally great. And now after this weekend, we'll have all of our staff trained in with anything Terry. And some of them have been trained in multiple times now.
It's one of the things that I find I admire the most of a work ethic of the people that you could stand pat. You know, you know a lot. You've got a good established business. You could keep doing what you've been doing. But the people that push themselves and that are constantly looking for new or different information of ways to do something better or take care of their clients better. My hairstylist does this, and like a lot of hairstylists do, they have to keep up on the most recent trends. I mentioned Images and Ink. They do that with tattooing. Now there's your industry, the healthcare industry, if you will. That is changing every 5 seconds, it seems like.
Yes.
So it seems on that side of it, I admire it, not just because you're doing it, but that you can keep up. That is impressive to me.
Well, and again, it's thankful to companies that are taking the time and bringing in the educators too, so we get the opportunity. But yeah, like every industry, there's something that's always changing and learning. And I think as humans, it's just a good thing for us to continue that learning process okay. We need to learn something new every day. Like, that's just part of life. It's going to happen. Which is great.
What's happening at the shop? How are things going?
Yeah. So besides that little bit happening this week, which makes the store extra busy and or less staffed probably too, the other thing we just wanted to mention is our save the date for our 77th customer appreciation sale.
Wow.
I know.
77.
I know.
77.
I know.
Man, that's impressive.
We're just not up to you guys yet because you're at what? What is it? Like
81, 82. Yeah, 81, 82. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, yes.
So when you get so old, you forget.
You just forget. What's one more year, I mean, hey. But we just wanted to put that out there so people can pencil it in or ink it in, get it in there.
Yes.
And it'll be a Friday and a Saturday like we've done the last couple years, which has been really I really like that. It just gives a little bit more breath within, okay, I don't have to come in just that one day.
Yeah,
It makes it more of a longer experience too for everybody. And I forgot something, I can come back the next day.
It's a true appreciation. Like they use that term a lot, and then you get like a 5% discount on one unique item or mm-hmm. something like that. You guys really go all out. You really do believe in appreciating your customers.
Yeah.
The extra day mm-hmm. and some of the sales you guys do, you do it right.
Thank you. So all of those details will come more, and we have plenty of time to chat with you. We'll have anniversary conversations galore, but just put it on your calendar, October 6th and 7th. So that'll be great.
It's that time of year where there probably aren't too many little kids listening, so I don't feel bad saying this, but I do know there are some parents out there that might cringe. Mm-hmm. Back to school time.
I know. I cringed right when there. I wrote it, James. I was like, all right, let's talk back to school. And I'm going to just do a little bit of back to school talk, because we'll talk more back to school
sure.
as the time goes on.
Yeah.
But I want to talk like pregame back to school.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do pregame, because a lot of times it's like, okay, while my kid's back in school and this is what I need, but let's do pregame. Hmm. And so I'm going to expand this to not just this younger school age. So not like your K through 12th grade.
Okay.
We have college students. We have moms and dads that are doing classes at night. So it's not just the kids.
Yeah.
So I want to expand it to that.
That's really smart.
But typically I think of the younger ones.
Sure. I think a lot of us do. It's nice to bring some attention to these other students.
Yeah. So one thing is let's think about that routine. So I'm boring everyone. I'm just going to be boring for a second. And I'm also going to tell myself this because I have young kids, but it's starting those routines. So let's just talk about, I don't know about you, but in summer, I stay up later and my children do. We have way more activities going on and we're doing a lot.
Yeah.
This is a great time. We're just inching into mid August, not quite. Mm-hmm. So this is a great time to start establishing those slow getting back to normal schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So, right, like I have a child that normally goes to bed around 8 or 8:30. She's now going to bed at like 9 or 9:30. So I'm like, okay, let's inch this back a little bit each night. Granted, she would stay up longer if she could because she's just a night owl. But I'm trying to be cognizant of that. And there's also like, I'm going to start waking her up a little earlier because she needs to start waking up sooner. So starting that routine of just getting back to that schedule, which, I mean, we all have schedules. It's just different when it's school, and it's that rush and that stress. So now let's talk about stress.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So whether it's stress for an adult trying to get their children ready and themselves ready for school and work, or it's the stress for our children going back to school and that anxiety it brings because of tests or because of the socialness side of it for kids. Some great products that I think of would be like, we've talked about AnxioCalm, which is great for the adult or four and up. And that's so good for that stress for all of us, especially easing in those first couple weeks when we're all just heightened. Mm-hmm. Our nervous system's a bit more heightened. Another great thing I just realized as I shook my arm, because I like to use my hands a lot. I have these bracelets, as do you.
Yes.
And kids can wear these. They look fun. Mm-hmm. And you can put essential oils on it. So we're going to just do a smell test of a stress recovery one. It's loose. And you can smell it. And your children could put this on their essential oil bracelet and have that, like, calminess through the day, or reapply it even. See, James is even putting it on right now. He's like, I could use this too.
I could use
a
little of this. Yeah, definitely. And it smells so nice. It actually, even just the smell of it immediately kind of gets you a little calmer and everything.
Yeah.
Wow, that is really strong. It's strong in a good way. Like, not the smell. I'm sorry. The smell isn't strong. The impact it has is strong.
Strong impact. So like this one has in here, this one has different ones like bergamot, which I love that smell. It's like it's a citrus, but it's like one that people don't typically use. And I love bergamot.
I can never remember the word. Thank you so
bergamot.
Much. Bergamot.
I love bergamot.
That's what it is. Bergamot. Mm-hmm.
It's got a little sage, which is also really good for our brains. So that's another one. Like, yep, we're talking stress, but we're also talking about brain health, right? We're using our brains so much more when we are talking back to school.
I didn't know sage was good for your brain.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know
it
that.
Is. Huh, yeah.
That's cool.
I got this all over my hands now. So you know what? I'm going to be calm the rest of this time.
It's a very laid back day.
And then it's got a couple different things like rose geranium and sweet marjoram.
Sorry.
Sorry, everyone. We're just going to be really relaxed over here.
This is a real calm show the rest of the day, man. This
we're
is
like
really
sloths
calm.
Over here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's a nice one. Just sometimes people don't want to do a supplement or their kids can't.
Yeah.
Or they're like, but how else can we do it? So I like to think of other options. So essential oils would be one. Or going into that focus, right? Focus is another huge thing for kids. Because in the summer, it's like you're just like a little bit more wild and free.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taming us, which I'm sorry, this could be a whole nother topic, but I don't think kids should go to school for that long because I don't think they can sit that long. And I don't think
Agreed.
They should sit that long.
Yeah, right.
But that's a whole different conversation.
We'll get into that one day. We'll get into it.
But if your child is having issues or you on that focus, whether it's for your work environment and you just need more focus, or it's going back to school and you're doing night classes and multitasking and you just need a little bit more focus, same with your children, we have some things that can help with just calming the brain and giving your brain the nutrients that it needs to really hone in on that like calm but focus.
Mm-hmm.
Terry has one, which again, we love Terry.
Yeah.
It is in a capsule form. However, they suggest that you put it into like, you know, some sort of beverage or yogurt or however it works. Or if your child's older and they can swallow, that's a great way too.
Mm.
But it helps with just like that focused brain and the social engagement. Because sometimes it's more of a social engagement for kids that like they have a hard time focus with that because there's so many things going on and people around them. So that's another one that we really like. And I didn't even mention, but most of our kids' supplements are on sale this month in August,
cool.
but also in September as well will be on sale because, again, sometimes we're not that pregame person. We're the like, oh, it's the after effect. Mm-hmm. And you're like, the teacher's like, your kid needs something for focus.
Yeah.
And you don't want to do a Ritalin or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're going to have these on sale for the whole month of September as well.
Very cool.
Yeah. So those were great to check out. And there's multiple other options. And you can come in and talk to any of us. We can talk to you about it. But also for the parent, there's great ones too. Like there's different ones for focus for adults. Because I think we often think, oh, it's just something for kids and it's not a thing when you get older, but it is totally a thing.
Oh yes,
it's 100% a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I blame part of it on multitasking because we're doing too much.
Yeah.
And society has taught us that we should do too much. So that's another, we have some really good ones for adults as well. Ginseng, we've talked about before. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because it's actually good for energy, like a stable energy, but it also helps with focus as well. So that's been great. Omega-3s is huge for brain health. I've talked to multiple parents where they've got their kid on omega-3 and maybe took it a little higher dose in the beginning, and it's just calmed down like so many different. Like I've had people say ADHD. I've had people say that even like they have a little bit of mental disorder, schizophrenia and whatnot. And it just like really has calmed their brains.
Yeah.
So omega-3s are hugely important for adults and kids. And it's called an essential fatty acid. That means we do not make it in our body, right? We don't make it. We need to consume it. I don't eat enough fish. Do you eat enough fish?
Nope.
Yeah, I don't. And probably the fish that we're eating isn't the highest quality or the most omega-3s, right? Like fish oil is typically pressed from the whole fish, not just the fish meat. So it's going to be more of the skin. It's going to be more of the organ. I mean, all of that makes up the fish oil.
Yeah.
I probably should give a better explanation than it's not just that.
We got it. And we've talked about it before.
Yeah, exactly. So fish oil is hugely important thing for all of us thinking back to school. And then just maybe lastly on that immune focus, right?
Mm.
So everybody knows September hits and there's colds that just hit everybody. So that's another one that I think is really important to think about is our immune system. And for little ones and adults, because those kids are going to be bringing it back too. Mm-hmm. Probiotics are huge. Probiotics, I've talked to so many parents, they just tried a probiotic and their kids stayed so much healthier through the year because it all starts in our gut. So if your digestive system isn't healthy, then you're going to get more colds because that's where our immune system starts. Mm-hmm. So I think omega-3s are hugely important, and we have different kinds, whether it's powder or whether it's chewable for kids. And then again, for the adults, we have capsules and chewables mm-hmm. and other options like that. So I think that's huge and a great foundation. Multivitamins, making sure your kids are getting the nutrients you need and the vitamin C's and the D's mm-hmm. and all of the things that are great for our immune system. Another awesome, hugely important thing. And same with adults. We have wonderful multis, mm-hmm. but maybe getting, like Steve and I've said many times, you've probably heard us, broken record for you, James, sorry. we've said before, like, have these things on hand. So when it happens, you're not like, oh, it's a Saturday evening and now I can't get anything, or a place is closed, or my kids are sick now. It's like, have some of those immune boosters for flu and have some of those immune boosters just in general. And maybe give a little bit more of it starting even in the next couple weeks to prep that mm-hmm. immune system. And then through that first month, for sure, hit it harder that first month. But we all know colds, they just happen.
And something that you and Stephen have touched on too, most of the time the shelf life of these things is pretty good.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, at the worst, you got it and you don't use it right away, it's all right. It ain't going bad anytime mm-hmm. soon. I think that's key. You've also done something, and I don't know if you did this intentionally or not, but you did the played this out perfectly. These are all great, and I can imagine there are some people, well, that now I'm starting to get up there on my supplements. There's a mm-hmm. lot of them here. Maybe you don't want to take as many. That's where the essential oils become mm-hmm. such a key thing mm-hmm. to this whole combination.
Yep.
Maybe you can take one less supplement because you're using an essential oil that doesn't have any side effects, and you're able to use that instead.
Yeah, yep, actually, and perfect. Well played. I have an essential oil for you to try, and it's called Good Samaritan, and it Ooh. Is a, I'll leave it locked for you, I guess. And it is an essential oil that's got some different cinnamons and oreganos, and it's immune focused. So this one's going to be good for keeping you healthy, again, for your kid to put on a bracelet or just smell through the day, put it on their feet at night, put it on your feet at night. You can wear it just smelling it, diffusing it. But like you were just saying, thank you. Like, it doesn't have to be a supplement. It can mm-hmm. be in a form of essential oil.
That smells really good. And I'm such a Dago. I smell the oregano right away.
Yes, you are.
You brought up something about putting it under your feet.
Yeah.
And especially for kids. That's something I forgot about. But my own, we did that with. Because mm-hmm. Actually, I was going to tell you this off air. I'm dealing with a little guilt right now. Because what you were describing, you were going through with your kids, I used to do that with mine. And then they go back to my ex. And she was not happy about that. I was not being a very good parent with letting them stay up a little bit later than even she would during the summer. But I'm nocturnal. My kids are nocturnal. We'd have fun. It was great. Mm-hmm. But then they got to get back into the swing of things with school and everything. Mm-hmm. One of the things Mandy would did was essential oils in the bottom of their feet. And I'd forgotten all about that.
Yeah.
The bottom of the feet, it works for people too that are really sensitive to smells.
Yes, that or like right before bed, right? You can tuck your feet in your bed. You don't smell it as much. Yeah. One. The other options is that I don't even know a ton about it, but reflexology. So the foot, a lot of you have probably seen it, but the foot has different meridians specific to the organs in your body on your foot. So I think up towards the top is like more head, like your toes area is more like head and so on. So you can Google it, but let's say your child is having sinus issues. You can Google like where the nasal or sinus or throat area is on your foot. You can put those essential oils and massage that area. And it is powerful because it's Chinese medicine that's been around for years. This is nothing new. But using that essential oil on those parts are even more powerful. And I mean, you smell good going to bed, and it's like warm and cozy.
It's nothing wrong with that. It's so great, and it's also very cool to I mean, just take a moment to appreciate our feet.
Yeah.
We don't appreciate our feet enough.
Oh yeah,
they
do a lot of work for us.
Really,
a lot of work for us.
Really do.
I think we should get in that habit of just like doing it ourselves. Why not, right?
Yeah,
so
agreed.
So that's another one, and we will definitely highlight more back to school. In the future, as we're getting to it. But if you have things you're looking for, we have a handful of products that are on sale specific to kids going into the next month as well, into September, because that's just, it's a good time to start that pregame. I don't want to.
Yeah,
but we have to be realistic.
A word that you've brought up a couple of times and times in the past that I always like to make sure people hear and really get through: options.
Mm-hmm.
You give people options, and I think that's a big part of what people are looking for nowadays when they have ailments or they have something wrong. I don't want to hear the one answer. I want to hear options,
mm-hmm.
and you get options at Family Natural Foods.
Yeah, thank you. And we try to do that because we are all individual, so we should all have an option that works for us. So, okay, we're going to talk just really briefly about adrenal health, which we could talk about this probably for hours. So adrenals are, they're about acorn size, and they are, just to give everyone a visual, they are on top of our kidneys, and they're important for so much, So some of the things that they do is they help regulate our hormones, and they help us with stress. And if our adrenals get stressed, then they get adrenal fatigue, and they can't handle stressful situations as much. So again, back to that multitasking we were talking about, we do so much, and we don't even realize that our bodies are under fight or flight more. Years ago, fight or flight was like, there's a tiger running after you,
right?
And now fight or flight, I think, is happening all the time for people. And everybody has different stress responses or work towards boosting their system up or working on their adrenal and their stress responses, or maybe taking something for it. But our adrenals get taxed. And after a while, then it weakens your immune system. Your hormones can be out of whack. Blood pressure can be affected. I mean, there's so many different things that get affected by it.
I've read a lot of articles and reports on this from like neurologists and everything, and it is one of the more fascinating things to me, fight or flight, how that hasn't really changed from caveman days to now. Everything around us has, but that internal thing hasn't changed. So how do we handle that in the modern age?
Right. How are we adapting that? Because it's definitely changing, and I think our nervous system is really stressed, right? We've talked about like different things, whether you're doing cold therapy is a popular thing of like getting to that that those vagus nerves, which help with your stress responses and can help you through the times. But there's so many different things. Terry has a product that's really good, and it's focused on adrenal burnout. And I realized during the pandemic, right, everybody was higher stress for multiple different reasons. And there's just a lot of unknowns or a lot of what ifs. And I think we all have had a lot of burnout in our adrenals, and we all were way more stressed than we realized, and that our bodies are just starting to kind of calm down a little bit a couple years later. So I think that there's key ingredients that can really help re-heal or help your adrenals. So if you're finding yourself like having a lack of energy or just like stress hits you really hard, like a situation, and it's really stressful, not doesn't have to be that stressful, but your body just takes it as extra stressful, or your immune system is weakened, blood sugar is out of balance. These are things that maybe looking into your adrenal health a little bit more. And Terry has a good product that has kind of all of it in there. It has things for your immune system, for metabolism. It has things to help balance those hormones. It has things to help with the stress responses in your body. So he's got a really great product, which is on sale for this month. And it's just, I think it's always good to recheck in with ourselves. I'm saying this to myself because I don't know if I've checked in with myself for a while, but like, we got to check in with ourselves and just like what's happening. Are we just on overdrive? if we're on overdrive and we're finding some of these symptoms, like I mentioned before, maybe looking at our adrenals could be a good place to go.
Pretty much all those symptoms was a check for me. I have to get that. Mm-hmm. I don't believe I'm alone on this one, but I've never thought about this before. And I do pay attention to my body and try to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. I've got to look into that. That is really interesting.
And Terry has this awesome brochure, and you're welcome to get, you know, have one, read about it. It has this tiny little quiz in the back, which I think is kind of a nice way to just like, how am I? What am I doing? What am I needing right there?
I'll have to check that out. And you can check it out at Family Natural Foods. Katrina, we appreciate you so much. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yes, it was fun.
Say hi to the team over there, and safe travels to everybody coming back. Wishing them well.
Thank you.
Find out more by going to Family Natural Foods. They're at 910 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. You can also give them a call at 423-3120, 423-3120. Go to their website, familynaturalfood.com, and be sure to follow them on social media. God, I love your Instagram page. It's so awesome. We'll talk soon, Kat. Thank you very much for the time. Well, and more Midday Magazine coming up right here on WFHR.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Fires keep spreading in Hawaii.
Here on the island of Maui in Hawaii,